So this anime is win.
Epic win. What? Totally epic win. My favorite movie of like this year. Just listening to Destine Historire from the anime Gosick by the artist Risa. And this is Anime Addicts Anonymous Podcast, episode 76.
76.
Getting up there.
I know, right? Wow. Getting old.
Soon to be 100.
Getting rickety. We're going to have to start using canes and walkers.
We're going to have like a badass party for 100.
I was just going to say that. We're going to have a 100 episode party.
Oh my god, yeah. Yes.
Don't inflate the expectations too much.
A whole day with the AAA.
That sounds a little bit too intense. I don't know if I can handle
Let's
that.
Do it.
maybe Chiaki and I will record some stuff when we're in Japan so you guys can feel like you're there.
Oh, I want to feel like I'm there.
That'll be your day with the AAA.
I want you to be there.
Love you. I love you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, how cute.
So you can find us at AAApodcast.com, iTunes, Facebook, as in facebook.com/AnimeAddictsAnonymousPodcast, or just look up Anime Addicts Anonymous AAA Podcast, aaanetwork.org, ustream.tv/channel/anime-addicts-anonymous-podcast. That one's always such a mouthful.
Yeah, well, you can just go to ustream.tv and search AAA Podcast.
You can do that, too.
Much simpler.
So, before we get started with our wonderful podcast agenda of awesome, we have quite a bit of forum members related news.
You're going to be reading forum names for like an hour.
I know.
An hour.
And I'm going to make an ass of myself as I try to sound out these names.
You can never make an ass of yourself. You're too well loved.
Aww. Yay. It's like a love podcast.
Ugh.
God, any more and I'll throw up.
Oh, right.
So we have 12 new forum members. Guts Matrix, Capwan, Aaron Den, Winter Jolt, Judo Legend, Solar Firer, Loki 16, A Rainbow Ninjormon, Slacker McGee, Grim Defeat, and Yellow Baron.
That was good.
I think Loki 16 is my name of the week. I like Loki.
Oh, I didn't.
Slacker McGee.
I like Slacker McGee.
Oh,
two votes for Slacker McGee as name of the week.
It's a good name.
I'm going to go with Guts Matrix because he posted 120 times in 3 days.
Wow.
He did buy my painting,
MVP.
Too.
Oh, you bought her painting? That's awesome.
Oh, and Guts Matrix is in the forum, or is in the chat.
Yay! Hello, Guts Matrix.
Sup?
That was an awesome painting. You bought well. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
It really was.
Proceeds go to tsunami relief.
Oh, yeah, of course. Most I was going to talk about it later, too.
Yes, she will. Yeah, you will. But first, we have a trivia winner, or we have many correct answers, and then a trivia winner.
I thought this was going to be much harder because of how new it was.
I guess people really like Rio Rollins from Rio Rainbow Gate.
I think it was because her boobs have, like, a red glow on them. Seriously.
Well, you did talk a lot about the glow. So maybe people just remembered you talking about the glow.
You're right, I did.
That's true. Oh, maybe
it was like cheating.
Oh, well.
Temptations.
But we got a lot of correct answers. The Green Gentleman, Bob Guardian, Yellow Days, Bob Not K, The Black Tiger, Rekka, Tyvon Kron, Bravo Genghis, Votaru Vegeta, Left Shifty 1, Raid 233, Guts Matrix, Discrimo 13, Winter Jolt, Gorgon Fish, Devin B, Solar Fire, Scythen, and Unicow.
Wow. That's the most ever, I think. That's 20 names. Oh, yeah.
That is a lot of names.
I have to say, it's kind of sad that our most ever trivia answer was for something as shitty as Rainbow Gate.
By the way, Rekka, I did see the picture that you sent me of Ryo from Dead or Alive Paradise Edition, and yes, it was very hot.
Awesome.
I appreciated that.
But anyway, this week's winner was Discimo 13. Discimo? I don't remember how I said it before.
I made a typo.
Oh. Discrimo 13.
Yeah.
Mitsugi and your typos. And our month winner, which actually should get a drum roll. Left Shifty 1!
Yay!
Woo!
So congratulations on that. That is awesome. And we have a birthday.
Birthday.
It is A-Tune Suck Taos, and he is turning 24. He or she, I don't really know.
Next year you can rent a rental car. Sweet.
Is that the age you have to be to rent a rental car?
25.
I'm playing Bavari again.
You are?
I love how that's our official birthday music now.
It should be there forever.
It was another birthday, or maybe even two of them, but I suck and forgot to write them down.
You really should, private message us if it's your birthday.
It'll help us remember. Please do.
I know that sounds vain, but we will appreciate it.
It's just tough, because, once the day's passed, it just kind of disappears. And then there's no way to retrieve it.
Yeah. So if in that week, you know, you remember and we weren't paying attention, just, you know, shoot us your name. Let us know how old you're going to turn.
There was another name that we didn't mention, but sent me a message. I'm sorry, this is last minute edition.
That's okay, I'm just continuing the Vivaldi.
Oh man.
Okay. There was someone who sent me a message that they've been hanging out on our forums and they've been chatting in the chat box, but I guess they haven't really posted very much and we missed them previous weeks because they've only talked in the chat box, and that is Manga Madman 25.
Oh!
I do like that name.
I like that name too. That would have been a contender for name of the week, but welcome to the forums.
Welcome indeed.
I have stayed true to my word.
Anyway, I just want to throw out an announcement about the AAA Network, which went up last week.
Beautiful network.
We have 18 podcasts on there, and it seems like there's at least one post every day since, you know, it takes a while for people to get material. No, not everybody's weekly like we are, but we have everything on there from anime, card games, geeky movies, casual gaming, conventions, and pretty much everything else that's under the realm of nerdy or geeky. So,
and we have a way that you can find your perfect show.
Yep.
Sorting through things that you want to hear, or even specific to podcasts that you want to hear,
and it sends you directly to us.
And it sends you every time you want to hear about Magic: The Gathering and geek movies. Anime Addicts Anonymous.
And you can find the AAA Network at aaanetwork.org.
Simple and easy.
And it's
which is the same thing.
And by the way, for the record, AAA Network stands for all anime, all geek, all the time.
Yep, that's correct. Nice. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yes,
it's branding. So I do it often.
So we have a disaster relief reminder, don't we, Chiaki?
We do. Of course, we are still collecting money for the disaster relief, and we will be until the end of the month. We are collecting through PayPal. You can either send it to host@aapodcast.com, or we have buttons right on our top page. Or you can, of course, donate the money directly to redcross.org or any charity of your choice. We actually have a poll right now going on our site of what charity we should donate to, and I think we're up to almost 30 votes or something like that, and Red Cross is winning, so it looks like that's who we're going to give it to.
Isn't it like a landslide?
It's winning so by a lot. But it's good, because I spoke with Miss Erica Central Parker about what the charities are doing over in Japan, and she said it seems like the Red Cross is really getting in there the most, and they're doing the most, so...
Good, I'm glad.
She said that's what she's been telling people to give their money to. The donation will be made in the name of anime. We've had everything from
a... In the name of anime.
In the name of anime. Didn't I say that?
Yes, you did.
We were just repeating it for emphasis.
For emphasis, got it.
I was merely emphasizing, yes.
And so, we've had every... Donations from, you know,
$75+ to 44 cents, and we thank everyone equally because that's what this is for. It's for people who might not be able to donate the flat amount that the Red Cross says, you know, click to donate $10. If you don't have $10, you can give 7, give 5, give 2 cents, whatever you
can
give.
Everything helps. Everything.
Everything helps. Everything. And right now, we have shattered our initial goal. We have raised $516.13.
So we should create a new goal of 1,000.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And 1,000. If you remember, if we hit 1,000, Mitsuki said that he would dress up like a girl.
Yes.
That's true. I did.
I remember that.
And the Church of Mitsuki has sent out its collection plate, and it is now collecting anime or money to donate to tsunami relief in the name of anime.
And I will be doing. I'm either taking commissions or I'm doing paintings of anime scenes inspired by news articles. If I have one, I'll either post it on the for sale. I'll either post it on the forums or put it in our store on the website. And basically, all of the proceeds from that, I'm putting toward the relief effort.
Likewise for me with original fan fiction or any stories in general. If you've ever thought about getting a ghostwriter to write something, an idea that you've had, come to me. Everything that you commission for me money-wise will go as well into the donation pot. So we are here to help
whore our skills, to put bluntly, for the betterment of our world. So
I like the word help.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone who has donated, seriously. And
yes.
Get
yes.
in touch with Kimiko if you want some awesome, awesome writing.
Thank
or
you.
Me.
Or if you want some awesome, awesome, awesome paintings or art or sketches or drawings, because she rocks.
Or me if you need a booty call.
Oh, man.
Now we're really whoring ourselves out for the betterment of Japan.
I work out.
You do.
I'd be a good booty call.
You do. So we have
I'm proud of that, too. Somehow.
We have a fabulous podcast agenda going on today, because today we are going to be talking about the spring 2011 anime season selections that we have done
as
for
good
you.
As this season, because this is the best we've had in a long time, which is really, really saying sad. Much.
Really
we
sad.
Will have go back to the old ways. Suspense.
We will find out. We will find out indeed. And then we'll have a short anime news break and do reviews of Rurouni Kenshin and Summer Wars. So let's get started with this shit.
I'm going to go first. I'm on the top. So nobody, I will say that no one picked Comfer. So despite those of you that wanted to, let's see, how many anime are there from this season? It looks like this is a massive season.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 40 anime this season. 40.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, boy. And is that including OVAs
not,
and stuff?
That doesn't that's include... Just... That's not movies, OVAs, or any of that stuff. That's just the series.
Wow. I just want you guys to know we're not going to be covering all of them. We have what is known as a life.
Yes. We have jobs and schoolwork. But we're each going to do 5. And I think that's good enough.
That's what I'm on right now. So
we'll probably cover a few more, knowing us. Like they'll probably be. I know we're all gonna sit down and watch the Makoto Shinkai film.
Oh my god, yes.
Somebody will complain to me, and I'll end up taking on another one.
And
oh, Mitsugi, you're so negative.
You'll probably watch the High School of the Dead Read or Die.
Maybe
I was gonna watch that too.
One of you guys will probably watch it. So there'll probably be a few more. Snuck
Supernatural
in.
Never came out. I'm upset about that.
I saw a trailer for it on YouTube.
It looks so bad.
And it looks. Well, then again, I don't have anything to compare it to, but
it looked
this
so
season,
bad.
This season.
Anyway, right. So despite what you might have thought or predicted, those of you that had me picking Comfer first in my for the new lineup, you lost in your betting pool. I'm sorry. The first anime I selected. Those of you that know me should know that I go right for the sports anime.
Oh yes.
Duh.
And even though I passed up the last Ringu ni Kakero anime that came out. Which is a boxing anime. I believe that Miss Erica Central Parker wondered why I hadn't watched it. And so when this one came out, I decided I would pick it up. And if it's good, maybe I'll go back and watch the other ones. But let's face it, there's no way it'll be even close to Hajime no Ippo. But I'm way behind on the series, but the description that I've got here is that after defeating Black Shafts, Team USA, and proving their worth to the Shadow Clan, Team Golden Japan Jr. will finally enter the World Boxing Tournament. In order to fulfill their goal of a perfect victory, they'll have to take on teams from countries like Mexico, Italy, France, Germany, and the godlike Team Greece. Oh my god.
Oh man.
They're going to kill you with their heroes. I really don't know what... I really don't have a big opinion on this anime, other than that I know that it's not nearly as revered as a lot of other sports anime that are out there, so... But I do love sports, and I do love anime, so we're going to give this one a try, and my hopes are that it will be good.
It might be.
My expectations aren't so high that it'll be a Hajime no Ippo, you know, like, even close to being comparative, but...
See, that's a good place to be, though. You start off with no to little expectations, and then any little amount of surprise is a good thing.
I'm kind of expecting it to be around, like, what the hell's Ice Shield 21, you know, kind of an average, you know, sports anime. But that's my first anime, so...
Don't get your hopes up, Mitsugi.
All right, so who's up now?
I think it's me. My first anime was my first choice, and I think I stole it from Mitsugi.
You did? Well, I would have given it to
you. Stole from a lot of people.
I had decided before that I was going
to
give it to you.
I didn't mean to break your heart, Kimiko. Oh, you're so sweet.
I was going to give it to you anyway.
You're so chivalrous.
What a gentleman. Mm.
So some would say so.
My first anime, and I spoke about this when we went on Primetime Geek a while back. Yay, Felix Abuerne, go check him out.
Definitely do.
And this anime is The Money of the Soul and the Possibility of Control.
It rhymes.
I know.
But I'm sure it probably doesn't in Japanese.
Well, yeah, but... Anyways.
In English it does. Somebody was being clever.
So the story is, the Japanese government was rescued from the brink of financial collapse by the Sovereign Wealth Fund. For the citizens, however, life has not improved, and unemployment, crime, suicide, and despair are rampant. Kimimaro, raised by his maternal grandmother after the disappearance of his father and the death of his mother, is a scholarship student whose only dream is to avoid all this and live a stable life. One day, however, he meets a man who offers him a large sum of money if he'll agree to pay it back. From then on, his fate is radically altered as he is drawn into a mysterious area known as the Financial District. Which, I've looked at pictures of this, and it almost reminds me in a way of, like, a Shin Megami Tensei kind of game. Maybe I'm being too optimistic, but, like, where you have, like, this normal world, and what the most iconic picture I've seen so far is of him on one side in, like, a normal world, and then of, like, this demon-like, not demon, but... Maybe like a succubi type-esque girl.
Succubi are good.
They're good. Yeah, they're hot.
Well, and when they're hot and they have like devil wings, they're hot. But
yeah.
I've seen some ugly succubi also. It's unfortunate.
Which is unfortunate, yeah.
Yes.
Like the succubi from South Park.
Yes.
Not hot.
No.
But, so it's like him on one side and then it's her on the other side with like a dark and slightly twisted version of the city. So I'm kind of hoping it's almost like that city within a city, and there's a sinister plot going on, and the idea of commerce in an anime, I don't know how much of a role it's going to play, or if it's just going to be focused on this financial district, but the idea of maybe some kind of commerce or, like, economics being a plot point is really interesting to me, so I'm really, really excited about this one.
You don't really see that a lot.
What?
So you don't really see that a lot with the whole...
No, I mean, the only other anime that I can think of that commerce is kind of in is One Outs. And it's not really commerce,
Spice and Wolf.
Spice and Wolf, too.
It's a massive part of that anime.
But One Outs is more about betting, and Spice and Wolf is, like, old-school commerce. So it'd be cool to see a new anime about it. Here's to hoping.
All right, so who's up now?
That would be me. And I'm doing the sequel to The World God Only Knows, or Kami no Mizo Shiru Sekai. And I'm actually kind of excited about it. For those of you who didn't see the first one, The World God Only Knows is basically about a boy named Keima who plays dating sims. And a demon comes down and kind of finds him online as the Conqueror of Hearts. Because that's what people have called him as the dating sim, like, king. Or the King of Conquest. And they tell him, she tells him that... Like, she sends him an email that basically says, do you want to make a contract with me and conquer all of these girls' hearts? And he thinks it's like a dating sim tournament and says yes. And then he gets bound to her and has to actually make real girls fall in love with him.
Gotcha.
And release the demons from their souls or something. But
really exorcise the demon.
Exactly.
Which is something that you'll be talking about again a little later on.
I have a thing for exorcisms, I guess. And masochism, like my last season. But anyway.
Mm. Oh, yes.
But it sounds interesting. It looks like this time it's going to focus a little bit more on the demon realm, where the demon Elsie, who's the one who made the contract with him, is from. So that looks cool. And there was also a hint that another demon from that we haven't heard of yet at the end of the first season is going to kind of make an appearance in this one, which should be interesting. I enjoyed it, if only just because Kama is really easy to like, in that sort of, like, he's annoying, but you he's like him endearing. Anyway. Yeah, he's endearing. But, you know, it could completely crash and burn, because it ended so quickly in only, like, 12 episodes, so I like it. It could be good.
Roko stole this one from you, I think.
You did! And I was angry.
No, the next one, your first one, Roko.
Dead Man Wonderland?
Yeah. It sounded like Hunger Games, sort of, kind of, and I was excited.
It sounds like fun. I definitely caught my eye when it was one of the first ones that I read over. Apparently, a massive earthquake has ravaged Japan prior to the start of the story, and 3/4 of it ends up sinking into the ocean.
Are you serious? Then, is that really the case?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I swear, right?
Is that, oh, my God. I can't believe this is still going.
Are you sure that that's not, like, a spoof?
No, this is apparently what I'm reading.
Oh, man.
And 10 years later, the story shifts to what was a survivor of the great earthquake, Igarashi Ganta, who he's just your normal, ordinary middle schooler. Like, that isn't, you know, cliche. And then one day his life changes when some guy comes to his school and slaughters his entire class, except for him.
Is this for real?
Yeah. This and then like, he gets like pinned. He gets pinned for doing the crime. And goes to, like, this special prison. So that sounds totally epic.
So wait a second. So this kid basically, his whole class dies, and somehow he gets framed for it?
Yeah, they all get killed by the Red Man.
Yeah, but he's a middle schooler. How does he even have the capacity to kill his whole class?
He's the only one who survived, I mean.
Yeah, he's the only one that survived. So.
If 10 people walk into a room, and only one person walks out, and 9 are dead.
I know, right?
Bob Nakke mentioned Tokyo Magnitude. The difference between that one and this one is that one happened before the Sendai earthquake.
Yeah.
This one happened after.
I think it'll be really interesting to see, as more information from studios and things like that, as more of Japan goes back to work, I think it'll be really interesting to see how this is edited, and if it's edited because of the earthquake. Because I talk about it in the news break that's going to come, but a lot of animes have been edited because of the earthquake.
They might have cut that whole part out.
They might have. It'll be interesting to see, though. It'll be really interesting.
Anyway, so I've got another anime here, of course. Sanjusai no Hōken Taiku, which translated is the health and physical education for 30-year-olds, and it's an
that's awesome.
This is one that I thought that Roka would pick, but
I almost picked it, but you know, there are other awesome animes. So
it's about it's based on a book series that's for older men who have failed to basically develop a romantic or physical relationship with a woman, and so it's kind of like it's like a tip book, I guess, on how to hook up.
Is this the one that it said it was based off of a manual?
Yeah, it's a manual that's supposed to help guys hook up with girls.
My God, are you serious?
And yes, it's so great.
I watched the trailer for it on YouTube, and it's gonna be perverted, like, the whole time. I mean,
yeah.
Duh.
The opening scene is this guy, like, he has his hand on these boobs, and he's just freaking out. I mean, it's going to be... And then the whole trailer is just them writing, like, sex subjects up on the board, like, how to do deep kissing and things like that.
So, Mitsuki, did you choose this anime because it's a problem that you are afflicted with?
I'm not 30. I'm not 30.
Really?
Nope. I'm not.
I'm sorry, Mitsuki. So I don't know. I'm on the ball tonight.
You're so mean.
Yeah, so it's going to be perverted, but I'm hoping that it'll be funny. And all I can say is that someone had to bite the bullet and take it. So that's it from me.
My next one that I'm watching this season is Steins Gate. Sorry, Kimiko.
Yeah, you should be sorry.
It is the second work of two companies collaborating together after Chaos Head, which is 5PB and Nitro Plus. But I don't know if it's a sequel to Chaos Head or if it's just, like, these companies are working together and they've worked together before. I haven't really seen anything that says one way or another. But Steinsgate takes place in Akihabara and is about a group of friends who customize their microwave into a device that can send text messages into the past. And can I just start out by saying, what?
They're that awesome.
Who looks at a microwave out of everything in your house that you could think to customize to send text messages to the past? You'd think maybe
That'd be awesome. Computer
or your TV or your phone. No, it's your microwave.
Chiaki, you've got the whole chat speculating on whether or not I have a girlfriend and all this other stuff. It's funny. I do have a girlfriend, so please stop, for the love of God, quit sending me love letters. It's really embarrassing.
I'm sorry, most of those are from me.
I opened up my mailbox the other day, and, like, this avalanche of, like fruity-smelling cards fell out, and this old man was walking his dog,
Is that why you had all those cookies on your desk, Mitsugi, the other day?
No, I just baked those, because I like to bake.
He's in touch with his feminine side. Okay, anyways, customize their microwave into a device that can send, right. As they perform different experiments, an organization named SERN, who has been doing their own research on time travel, tracks them down, and now the characters have to find a way to avoid being captured. So, it's basically they start messing with the past and stuff happens kind of anime. But I watched the trailer for it, and the trailer was kind of your generic trailer where it was showing each of the characters doing a relatively mundane thing that's like, look at this cute character.
Ah!
Look at this guy.
That was, like, all of the trailers I watched in prep for this.
It's pretty much your normal trailer, but the animation looks really clean and nicely put together, and is pretty standard of a style, so I'm looking forward to it. I had to admit, I put this one above Dead Man Wonderland, so we'll see if I was right.
All right, so who's
Mitsuki,
next?
You have people raving about your body in the chat.
What? Really?
Have you been watching the chat? Mitsuki.
I do have guns.
Lottie Darl says, I want your body.
Is that for real? I missed that.
And somebody else said me too.
Wow. I don't...
Oh, they love it, apparently.
Oh, boy. Mitsuki, you should show them what's under the hood.
Oh, my God. Maybe in the after party, okay?
So stick around, everybody. Stick around. Maybe in the after party, he said so himself.
I haven't had nearly enough drugs in my system to strip my clothing off. For God's sake, who's next?
I think that's cute.
Oh no, Exorcist.
Uh-oh.
That is my anime that I have accumulated after all the other ones I wanted were gone. So
I wanted this one for the record.
You did?
Yeah, I did want this one.
Boom! I'm just kidding.
It's okay.
So Aono Exorcist, the little summary says basically, the story focuses on Rin Okumura, a boy raised by a famous exorcist named Father Fujimoto. And after an argument between the two, Rin discovers that he is the son of Satan. Rin decides to fight...
Oh my god, it's the kid from Bakuman, grown up.
Yes, it is.
Oh wait, no, Bakuman.
Not Bakuman.
The... Roko, what anime is that you hate right now?
Beelzebub.
There we go. It's the baby from Beelzebub.
Grown up.
No, shut up.
Rin decides to fight his fate by joining the True Cross Academy, of course, to become an exorcist and defeat demons. However, when he draws his father's sword, it releases a dark power within him.
Ugh.
So I watched the trailer for this, and it told me nothing, so I really don't know what to expect from any of this, but the animation style looks nice, and that's all I've got.
Oh, the animation looks good. Move on.
That is literally all this trailer showed me, was that the animation style looks like it might be decent.
Can I go completely off on a tangent for a second?
Sure.
Does this smell like fish to you? Oh
my God. What the hell?
My tea smells like fish to me, and I don't know why, and it's very disturbing. Okay.
It does kind of smell like fish.
Gross. Your turn, Roko. I'm not going to drink that anymore.
That sounds like terrible tea.
It might be. I don't know. Your turn, Roko. All
right. So my next one is Aria the Scarlet Ammo. The trailer for this was kind of... You couldn't really tell what the anime was going to end up doing. I'm assuming that it's going to be full of action, considering the plot summary. Basically, the story takes place in a place called Tokyo Butei High School, which is like a special school that train armed detectives called Butei in using weapons and
what's
other
it called
things.
Again?
And the story basically revolves around some guy named Kenji Tuyama, who is a second year and has like special powers, but he doesn't tell anybody because he wants to live a normal life. I swear I've heard this like three times before with different animes.
I'm waiting for a series that's someone who doesn't want to live a normal life.
Right,
someone
exactly.
Who wants superpowers and then gets them and is like, bam, this
awesome.
Is awesome.
I'm sorry, this is exactly what I wanted.
I'm sorry, Rogo, what's it called? Butei?
Butei.
Butei. I might be mispronouncing
it. I go to the Academy of Butei.
Excuse me, let me shake my Butei.
And okay. Basically, and then the things pick up when he gets caught in a bombing on the way to school and he encounters the most powerful S-rank Butei student in the assault studies class, Arya Kanzaki.
I'm really confused, Roko, because there's a series called Arya, like the origination, and there's like a million other ones that I ended up watching like the very beginning of the first one because it's so highly reviewed online, and that is the most boring harem BS ever, and this does not sound like that at all, despite it having the word Arya in the title.
Yeah, well, I hope it's not, because that would suck.
I'm going to confirm this while you guys are discussing your third animes, but for now, I'm going to take over and do mine.
Okay.
As long as you're done.
I'm pretty much done, yeah.
Okay, my next one's called Moshidora, the full title being Moshi Koko Yaku no Joshi Manager ga Drucker no Management o Yondara. Wow. What if a female manager of a high school baseball team read Peter Drucker's Management?
What?
I swear to God, that's what it is. It's about a girl who starts to manage a baseball team and reads Peter Drucker's business management book, Management Tasks, Responsibilities, and Practices, in order to ship-shape up her baseball team that's apparently not doing so well. And it's just a novel that's that exactly about that that's being adapted into a 10-episode anime that's going to come out, according to this, about a week ago. So maybe it already started. I have no idea. I haven't been looking for new ones, but that's about it. It's going to be a baseball anime with business type background things. Maybe you should tell your business teachers at your grad school, Chiaki, that there's an anime about Peter Drucker's Management.
I'm sure maybe they won't take it so seriously.
I had one of my professors show a goofy Michael Keaton movie about Japanese people trying to make a car manufacturing plant in New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah. And we watched that for like 5 classes, and that's what we pay for.
Sounds nice. Like an awesome waste of time. So.
And I still don't know if Lottie Darrell or whatever is a guy or a girl, but I'm thinking guy.
Oh, the one that wanted your body?
Yep.
Are you gonna cheat on your girlfriend, Mitsuki?
Oh yes, I am.
Cyber cheating.
Oh.
Okay. Moving on.
All right. So. My next one is X-Men, which is the third part of the Madhouse Marvel collaboration, and it is exactly what it sounds like. It is about the X-Men. I know there's Wolverine, there's Storm, there's Cyclops, there's Beast, there's Professor X in it, and it looks in the same style as the other ones. It looks action-packed. I'm pretty much expecting the exact same that Wolverine and Iron Man was. Random, mindless, pretty shit happening that you go, ooh, ah, that was fun.
Winning. By winning.
I win here and I win there. By the way, Mitsuki, have I played for you the techno rendition of that?
Yes, I saw it.
It's great, okay. The dubstep.
He's like freaking out, his arms are flailing.
but by winning. But, okay, sorry.
I'm 97 gram rocks and finishing them.
Because that's just how I roll. I'm like that.
Dying for fools.
Hey. okay, all right.
The party, but they didn't read the instruction manual.
Okay.
Clearly.
All right, who's up?
That would be me again. And I chose a yaoi. Oh my god, this is my last face.
When I saw the two guys caressing in the picture with like blush on their faces, I knew this one would be Kimiko's immediately.
Yep. I thought the same thing as well.
It's just assumed.
By the way, Aria just Kimiko just kissed Chiaki, so for those of you that aren't on Ustream, you should be.
Like, can we get a close up of that?
Anyway,
so yaoi.
On instant replay.
So yaoi. Anyway, which is not what we would be.
I checked, Roko. Aria the Scarlet Ammo is not related to the other series, so you're safe.
Good. Awesome.
Anyways, so yaoi. Yeah. It's an anime called Sekai Ichi Hatsukoi, and it's a story that basically follows the tension between a newly recruited manga editor and his tyrannical editor-in-chief, who happen to, wait for it, share a common past. Oh, snap! I know, right? Oh, my God.
Oh, man!
Wow, it sounds like a... Thank you for that.
I watched the trailer, and it looks incredibly cliche, but adorable at the same time. So I know I'll enjoy it, and nobody else on Earth will, but, you know, everyone's got to have a guilty pleasure.
I think we should cosplay it.
Yeah, I think we should, on our backwards episode.
I'm gonna watch it and touch myself.
Yes,
because you have a brown wig. You have a brown wig, right?
I have a brown wig and a black wig. We should cosplay them.
We'll do it.
Weren't we asked to cosplay guys? Yeah,
we were asked to cosplay guys at some point.
So we should.
$1,000. We'll cosplay guys.
That should be easy for both of you.
What?
Excuse me.
Excuse me. My God.
Wait a minute.
You guys are so silly.
Hold the phone. Wait a minute.
You're done.
All right, so, Roko,
you might want to go before I slap a bitch.
Let's keep things moving. You know, just to keep things moving, you know.
What?
My twig and berries, my twig and berries, my wedding tackle.
Oh my god, every episode. $2. Every episode.
Well, my next one is Electromagnetic Wave Woman and Adolescent Man.
What?
Yes. It sounded the... The title alone, when I saw it, I was like, oh, man. So, apparently, from what little I could find about it, because the title is so long and weird, it makes next to impossible to do any research on it, Niwa Makoto meets his mysterious cousin, who's cliche of the same age, Towa Irio, who happens to tie a futon mattress around her upper body and self-proclaims himself as an alien.
Roko.
Yes.
The other name to this is Denpa Ona Seishun Otoko.
Cool. I'm going to Wikipedia this real quick. Anyways, and as I swear, like, some of these animes have been done over and over again. The brother had been missing for some time and came back floating on, like, the ocean, on, like, coming in on the beach or something. And I don't know. It could be cool. It could just be really weird. I'm Wikipedia-ing it right now. Okay. It's based off of a manga series, but there really isn't much more info on it. The trailer looked decent, and the chick's kind of hot.
Well, that's always a plus.
Yeah, hot with hot, like, you know, light blue hair. So we'll see what happens with it, but I can't really guarantee anything. Hopefully I'm not stuck with something that really sucks.
Well, yeah, we all are. We all end up at least one.
Yeah, that's true. Well, last time I ended up with like three of them.
Okay, so in accordance with tradition, I have found an anime that has no discernible description that was immediately available, but I did find the trailer. So rather than tell you what the anime is about, I'm going to describe the trailer to you in said fashion.
Sounds like fun.
I love when you do that.
But it's a movie done by Studio Pierrot, 2011, obviously 2011. It's called Onigami Den, which has the word devil in it, but other than that, don't know. So, let's start the trailer here. It's only a minute long. Excellent animation, by the way. It's a movie, so you kind of have to expect that right from the beginning. Alright, so we have a busy street. Cars moving on the street. There's a kid riding a bicycle. We almost ran to another kid. Some Japanese I can't read. And the sky is splitting, and a demon just rushed out of it at a dog. The dog's barking. It's flying across the sky. And, very dark clouds. Very ominous appearance. And it looks like it's set in maybe some kind of a feudal Japan, which is interesting considering there were cars. And now there's swordsmen battling demons running around. And there's spirit things attacking people, and there's sword fighting and explosions, and a chick that looks like she's out of a Studio Ghibli movie. And we have a monk. We have a monk shooting energy, and a kid just split a walking something that looked just like one of the walking slime monster from Princess Mononoke in half on a rooftop. And cut to kanji, and that's the end of the trailer.
Wow.
And cut to kanji that I cannot read.
So my impression of this anime is that it's. I'm just gonna make a prediction. Since the beginning of it was set in modern day with a kid riding a bicycle, and then by the end we're like in feudal Japan. The kid's going to get sucked into feudal Japan, and there's going to be a battle between humans and monsters, in which a lot of them are samurai, and there's going to be lots of sword fighting and magic and explosions.
Oh gosh, this sounds like something familiar, doesn't it?
What would that be?
Inuyasha, kind of?
perhaps,
minus the guns.
Oh my god, it's like 12 Kingdoms.
Don't even make me come across this table.
Well, I think I should talk about Nichijou then.
Good job, you do that.
So, Nichijou. While the title suggests a story of simple, everyday school life, the contents are more the opposite. The setting is a strange school where you may see the principal wrestle a deer or a robot's arm hide in a roll cake. However, there are still normal stories like the making a card castle or taking a test you didn't study for. Hmm. It looks like it's the same art style as Azumanga Daioh, and that was really what made me pick it.
I was about to say.
Is that a good enough reason?
Probably compared not. To the other shit?
Yes.
So, that was my third one. Not much else to say. Or fourth. Not much else to say.
Awesome. Well, my next one is called Sket Dance.
Sket Dance.
Let me find the thing for it. I watched the trailer for it, and there really wasn't much to the trailer. It was basically the people, quote-unquote, from Sket Dance, basically, I guess, advertising their organization. It's an anime adaptation of what they call Kenta Shinohara's Sket Dance school comedy manga. In the manga story, Yusuke Fujisaki and several students in his high school form a sket group to solve any trouble in the student body. So, in a sense, it kind of reminds me of, like, Emu Emu, where they had the volunteer club, which their basic premise was to solve people's problems or make wishes come true. It's kind of what it sounds like. The trailer, it showed me actual animation happening, which was cool.
Oh, more than just pictures and camera shaking?
I know, right? Nice. But it didn't tell me anything, so I don't really know what to expect. It looked cute, though. Not, like, cute as in moe cute, but, like, it looked sweet.
Mm.
Like, the characters looked like they were actual characters, and I might be able to enjoy it.
Sincere human beings.
Exactly.
What a shocker.
I know, but yeah, that's about where I'm at. So, next one, Roko?
Okay, my next one is called Astaret no Omocha.
You said ass.
Also known as Lots Toy. And when I read this, I literally lolled.
Oh, man.
All by myself. Apparently, here's the premise. A succubus princess named Astaret Igvar, I think is how you pronounce it, has just turned 10. But in order to maintain their body and preserve their beautiful appearance, the succubuses must consume a substance only found in males. The substance is a liquid called Sausfrima. That's probably horribly mispronounced. Better known as semen.
Oh my god, it actually is. I was refraining from commenting, but
I was gonna say it as a joke, but apparently.
And yeah, so I was like, you gotta be kidding me. So basically I watched the trailer and it looked cutesy, but this is gonna have to end up turning out to be a hentai or something.
Sorry.
It's gotta be. How is it not?
Sorry, Roko, how old is the girl?
10.
Oh my god. Oh no.
And,
oh my god.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Oh no.
I really hope that this doesn't turn out to be a hentai.
Oh my god.
I mean, My Little Sister Can't Be This Cute didn't turn out to be a hentai, but I think
that one didn't literally involve semen in the trailer.
I, I'm sure that there are older succubuses that the story will also follow.
Well, we already had an anime about breast milk, so I guess this person just felt that they couldn't be undone.
That's true,
or
I had that on my list.
Oof.
I'm sure you did.
Wow.
So, my last anime I know nothing about. It's totally a toss-up. It's called Hyōge Mono. The story is set during Japan's Sengoku Jidai, the era of the Warring States, which is like one of the most overused settings in all of anime, but nonetheless. It centers on a vassal of the great warlord Oda Nobunaga, also overdone, and a man obsessed with tea ceremony and material desires in his pursuit of a fortuitous life. Having learned from Oda and the legendary tea master Sen no Soeki, Furuta walks the way of the Hyōge Mono. And I have no idea what the Hyōge Mono is, but I did watch the trailer, and it has, like, this guy staring at this pot, and it's, like, this big metal pot, and I can't understand a damn thing they're saying, because it's all in, like, super formal Japanese.
No!
And everyone's freaking out and staring at it, and some guy lights it on fire, and it explodes.
Maybe it's because their tea smelled like fish.
You know what? I am sure that's what it was.
This was basically, it looks like a commercial on the NHK, like a 30-second spot, you know? Mm-hmm. All it is people freaking out this big pot, and they light it, and it blows up.
Wow.
Awesome.
I mean, that's pretty much it. So, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say about it. This is probably my most uncertain anime. But it looks kind of silly, because they have, like, really goofy faces when they're staring at it. Like, their eyes kind of pop out, like, wow, what's going on? So it doesn't seem like a stuffy anime that you might think from having the word tea ceremony in the description.
Right. Well, my last anime is also not a stuffy anime. I had two fun anime and three serious anime, so it all worked out. My last anime is A-Channel. The story revolves around the everyday life of four high school girls, the flighty Rune, the reckless Toru, the timid Yuko, and the level-headed Nagi. And I watched the trailer, and it's basically, like, chibi-esque style, not like true chibi, but close to true chibi, and it just had this little girl running around with a bat.
Awesome.
Wow, enjoy watching that one.
Well, yeah, it right? should be funny. I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping for.
I have my doubts.
Well, you can't remain optimistic for me, Mitsugi?
Never.
I'm not.
My heart is breaking.
Lately, I'm never optimistic. You guys know me. I'm never optimistic about this stuff.
So mine is
moving on. Then.
My my last one is called
Deep Breath.
Okay. Ano himita hana no namae wo boku tachi wa mada shiranai.
Wow.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And it's basically the story of six childhood friends who grew apart in high school. One of them is Jintan, now Shuden, and he gets a request to fulfill a wish for Menma, the only one of their friends to have stayed the same over the years. In order to grant her wish, he will have to find and reunite all their old friends. It sounds very slice of life, but it also kind of reminded me of Arakawa Under the Bridge.
Oh, God.
It doesn't look as weird as that, though, from
Not as weird, but it feels... It's kind of like that, just putting a bunch of characters all together and just seeing what happens. And I'm hoping, because I've never seen it, but I got a lot of...
Yeah, let's hope for that. If anything, it seems like it'll be more story and less episodic.
Hopefully. But the animation style looks decent, so hopefully... I put a lot of stake on animation style, I've noticed. But Roko? Roko, anything?
Well, I mean, you're going to stare at it for 10 hours, might as well look good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I can't watch 80s anime. You have one more, right, Roku?
I do, yes. This is my last one is called Toriko. When I read this on the spreadsheet of what's coming up on this season, I was just... It seems so unique. Basically, you have a gourmet hunter named Toriko who basically... He dreams to find the most precious foods in the world and ultimate dinner course. As one of the most skilled hunters in the world, he's regularly hired by restaurants and other people to seek out ingredients that are like all rare and, you know, whether they be animal or plant parts. And basically, the story follows him as he gets further and closer to his goal. And it just sounded hilarious because it's got this picture that's like totally looks like a gangster on the front of it, Toriko, and he's a gourmet hunter that goes out and seeks ingredients.
There's a, I don't know if it's a Food Network or Travel Channel, but there's a show that kind of sounds exactly like that. Or it's like a guy who goes into exotic places.
Man versus food, or...
No, yeah, no, that one's just gross.
Something like that.
Anthony Bourdain knows reservations?
No. No, I don't remember the name of it, but he goes into exotic places to find exotic spices or animals or plants to make food. So maybe they copied it off of it.
Exciting.
Very much so. So much excitement. But yeah.
Apparently he's also one of the four heavenly kings of gourmet food providers.
Oh, a snap. King? He's a king of food providers?
It's his rank, I suppose.
And he looks like a professional wrestler.
He does. He looks like a street fighter.
Interesting. So I guess that about wraps it up for the season, spring 2011 season. And I guess we are going to take an anime news break. Those all sounded lovely.
Yes, indeed. And I hope that everybody has acceptably good anime and that no one has to suffer too much.
I agree.
I think I might. But that's okay. That's okay.
You think you're going to have to suffer?
Yeah. That sucks. A little bit. But yeah, so anime news break away.
Everyone, this is Chiaki, and this is your first anime news break. Due to the recent tragedy in Japan, this anime news is going to be themed with how the quake has affected the anime industry. First up, a number of anime and manga have been delayed due to the quake. Some of them include Star Driver, Kagayaki no Takuto, limited edition DVD sets, and other standard editions from Aniplex have been delayed to an undetermined new date. Mitsuromoe Zorochu is the same, along with Kuroshichuji and Shiki. Other delays include the anime Go Sick, which did not air on TV Tokyo on March 11th due to emergency broadcasting. It's going to be rescheduled, but no news as to the time and dates when it will be released have been announced. There are a number of other manga and anime which have been delayed due to the earthquake. So, if you're a fan of the new season and you're trying to get your hands on some content and you're having a hard time, I highly recommend checking lists of release dates to see when or if the anime has been delayed. In other interesting news, several animes have faced changes due to the March 11th earthquake. These anime possess scenes or themes of disaster. The first one is the Precure Arl Stars, which combines the cast of all the Pretty Cure anime, that's Precure for short. It's a magical girl anime, and a film is supposed to be released. It will still be released on March 19th, which was this past Saturday, but parts of the film are being edited out since a tsunami scene or scenes are reminiscent of the disaster. Another anime television channel, ATX, recently announced that it's canceling reruns of the 10th episodes of Onichan no Koto Nanka Zenchin Suki Danain Dakarane, which is at the request of quote-unquote the rights holder of the anime, in other words, the creators, due to the fact that it has scenes of characters being swept away by a giant wave. Another anime that was also scheduled to run on a channel Animax was Tokyo Magnitude 8.0, and Animax has rescheduled it for other programming, quote-unquote, due to circumstances. As you can see, just by the title, that's probably not the best anime to air at this time. While the creators within the anime industry are trying to figure out how to approach this disaster with sensitivity while still retaining their creative liberties and vision, I think it's pretty safe to say that we won't be seeing any disaster-themed or scenes in anime for a while to come. Also this past week, the anime community had its first confirmed death due to the earthquake. Producer and animator Hiroshi Kakoi had passed away during the March 11th earthquake and following tsunami. He was a producer on the Super Dimension Fortress Macross 2, Lovers Again, and Moldiver original anime series. He also worked as a key animator at the anime studio Artland on the first Macross series. And he also worked on the original 1980 Astro Boy. We thank him for his contribution to the anime community, and his presence will be sorely missed. And in final, slightly more positive news, as you all know, the AAA has started a disaster relief fund to help with the victims of the March 11th earthquake. But, of course, we're not the only ones. And there's a new way to help and get a little doujinshi out of it. The creators in Kodansha's monthly Nakayoshi Shoujo Manga magazine and their publications are planning to make a charity doujinshi. And for anyone who doesn't know what doujinshi is, it's a self-published work in order to help raise funds for the March 11th victims. There's a placeholder website tentatively titled Higashi Nihon Daishinsai Charity Doujinshi, the Great Eastern Japan Earthquake Charity Doujinshi, and they plan to release the doujinshi at the Tokyo Big Sight Convention Center on May 5th. There's going to be more details announced later, so if you have any possible way of getting there, this could be a great way to support the industry. Keep hanging in there, Japan. All of our thoughts and hopes are with you. And anime fans here in America, I recommend keeping up with the news so you know how this earthquake has affected your favorite series and studios. All the best. That was Chiaki, and this was your anime news break.
You need to cry. Let's brainstorm. I could hit you over the head with a wrench, or I could stab you in the gut with the knife.
Knife wrench!
Practical and safe.
Are you tired of crappy ideas that don't work? So are we. So we invented 918 The Fan. 918 The Fan. Everything you want to hear, nothing you don't.
Knife Wrench!
For kids.
Anime Addict Anonymous は Amy Plex とご覧のスポンサーの提供でお送りいたします。
Welcome back to episode 76 of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast.
Woot.
Woot indeed. That was a delectable little bit of anime news. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes, well, it's sad when all the news has to deal with earthquake stuff, but it is important to cover such things.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yes. And moving off from that, we are going to go into some reviews, and I say we take it away. Mitsugi, what you got for us?
No, you go first.
No, after you.
I insist, I want to hear about Summer Wars. I'm having my tea.
Ladies first.
That is true. Ladies first and all that.
You're stuck with it now.
I am.
I'm not a lady.
Though you will be if we raise $1,000.
Yes.
you guys need to come up with $484 more.
Make it happen, guys. Yep. Make it happen.
That's about...
Donate now!
Well, that means if every one of our listeners donates, like, 20 cents... Should have enough money.
There we go.
That's not
20 cents,
is that,
guys.
Is that so much to ask? 20 cents?
20 cents.
20
wow.
cents out of your lives.
All right, please.
I want
that's like the quarter that you drop in the grocery store.
Exactly.
In fact, just less than that quarter.
It is. Just drop it on us instead. Drop it on us. So I, as Mitsugi said, am reviewing Summer Wars, which if you haven't seen it, go see it. That's all I'm going to say about that one.
And that's the end of the review.
That's it.
That's it.
There we go.
Score?
There we go. I'm going to read a little summary that I wrote. Hopefully it makes sense. Summer Wars takes place in a semi-futuristic but incredibly plausible version of Japan where everything in life, like utilities, shopping, bank accounts, other personal information, is located in one convenient internet source, Oz.
Oz, like... Like the
we're
prison?
Off to see the wizard.
Like the prison from the HBO TV series?
No. That was a good TV series.
Don't rub the soap! He's the health inspector.
But anyway.
You didn't watch behind your ears or none.
Nah. You ain't done.
Oh, that sounded creepy.
I've been watching you. You ain't washed behind your ears or nothing.
Now I'm scared.
Pick up the soap!
Dear God, no! So, while Oz may be convenient, it also turns out to be life-threatening when an artificially intelligent Oz avatar starts messing with the system, causing chaos and panic worldwide. So that's like the general plot. Obviously, there's more that goes on that makes it as awesome as it is, but...
There's more than that?
I know, right? That's what makes it so cool. But Summer Wars is most definitely a masterpiece. Like, it is definitely worthy of its Academy Award nomination, bar none. Like, I did it win? I don't think it won, right?
It didn't even get nominated. It was a bunch of
it
shit.
It did.
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
But it's got it all over the movie title. Like, the front of the movie says, Academy Award nominee, blah, blah, blah.
Are you sure it's Academy or, like, a different... Are you sure it's not a different award?
It won every other,
I thought it was Academy.
It won every other award on the planet.
Oh, okay.
But maybe what you saw was... Maybe the director has already been nominated. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. But it won lots and lots of awards.
Sure.
Thank you. It won lots and lots of awards that Chiaki is going to find out for me. And, yeah, it deserved them. So, which isn't really surprising considering that it's from the same people who did Girl Who Leapt Through Time.
Right, so, naturally.
Yeah.
Which is also a good movie.
Oh, fabulous movie. I love that one. I'm pretty sure we reviewed it and gave it a 5 or something. But, even though the plot kind of isn't incredibly original, that whole aspect of fire sale and the internet over, you know, being the cause of Earth's destruction, it's still really thought out and brilliantly executed. It also offered what I thought was really cool was like a nice balance between the Oz world and our world. It wasn't just taking place entirely in ours or entirely in the internet.
No, is this like Denocoil? Where it's kind of like, you know, you put the glasses on and you see, like, internet-type world and, like, superimposed onto our world?
No, not at all. Every time they go into Oz, it's almost... It was really cool the way they handled it. It was kind of like, when you see things happening in Oz, you can imagine... It's like the visual representation of what the people outside of Oz are doing, how they're handling it. So, like, let's say when they firewall a person in Oz out, like, if, let's say, you're working on firewall outside in real life, they represent it by their avatar literally being encased in, like, a giant wall, you know? So it was really well done that way, which still made it visually entertaining to, you know, every time they went into Oz, you knew that what was going on wasn't exactly what was going on, but it was displayed really well.
I have the awards, by the way.
Awesome. What are the awards?
There's like 1,500 of them.
Or a couple of them, at least.
Wow. Actually, IMDb only has 4.
Oh, okay.
It was nominated for the Asia-Pacific Screen Awards. It won the Mainichi Film Concourse. And it won the Catalonian International Film Festival. And it won the awards of the Japanese Academy.
Oh, wow. That must have been
so
what I wrote.
It won.
Or read.
It won the Japanese Academy Award, the animated feature film, for anyone who wants to know, for the American Academy Awards, was How to Train Your Dragon, The Illusionist, and Toy Story 3 were the nominees. Toy Story 3 won.
What a bunch of epic bullshit.
I tend to agree that it deserved at least a nomination.
Yeah.
At least.
I wasn't even that impressed with Toy Story 3.
Not at all. I mean, there were a couple of moments.
I thought it was decent.
I mean, it was good, but it's not like Academy Award good.
No, it wasn't nearly as good as the first one, anyway. But moving on, not only does Summer Wars kind of like... It managed to incorporate very real character development on top of that plot that I told you about in the beginning, which is what makes it so cool. It's got romantic influences and family involvement, and it's that sort of relationship involvement that, you know, it tugs on your heartstrings and stuff. And it comes along through multiple times through the story, and it makes it feel more real.
Tug, tug.
Aww. Tug, tug, heartbreak. But anyway.
Whenever I hear that expression, I think of Conan O'Brien's dance. Have you ever seen that?
I have not.
He, like, pulls his legs up.
Self-puppetry.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
The plot of Summer Wars, though, centers around Kenji. And he's, like, the main character who works for Oz. And Natsuki, who's his crush, asks him to kind of come and do a summer job at her house, which turns out to be her basically... this is kind of spoiler-ish, but her basically pretending that he's her fiancé, because she promised her grandma that if her grandma was feeling ill, she promised her grandma that if she was, like, before she died, she had to meet her future husband. Yeah, her future husband. So it was kind of like a barter.
Aww,
so she
so
brings,
sad.
But she didn't have, like, a boyfriend, so she brings Kenji.
Bob Mackay made a great point in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because... Toy Story 3 has a bunch of my man Totoro in it.
It did.
Indirectly, Studio Ghibli still won the Oscar.
That's true.
That is so true.
Because it probably wouldn't have won without the presence of Totoro.
Oh, no.
Pixar,
no.
You're a
it
bunch of losers.
It wouldn't have even been nominated.
Well,
I don't. Pixar is a bunch of losers.
Bunch of losers.
They're not.
Well, John Lasseter is always getting up on Miyazaki's nuts. Haven't you ever watched his interviews?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's a loser. That means he appreciates talent.
All I can say is.
Oh, gosh.
All I can say is.
All I can say is we shouldn't have this argument now. We should let Kimiko finish
her
review.
Okay.
So anyway, the interactions between Natsuki and Kenji and her family, they're all very, like, they're all very well placed in the actual plot of, like, the whole Oz thing, which makes it feel as, it kind of made it feel as though this could actually happen, you know? Like, that something very much like Oz in relation to the internet, kind of, like, Facebook, could eventually kind of come about and even more eventually be the cause of something dangerous or life-threatening, like a fire sale or Y2K or something. And, you know, it's, it just adds to the plot instead of takes away from it. The animation is predictably gorgeous. Because, I mean, if you saw Girl Who Leapt Through Time, it was just very... It was beautiful to watch, I thought.
Yeah.
And it kind of had a it was more Makoto Shinkai-esque to the sense that it was more focused on scenery and stuff like that. And
gorgeous. I was going to say the opposite. Because Makoto Shinkai, I feel like, puts a ridiculous amount of detail into everything. Like, every single glimmer of light on a train passing by is, like, brought out in Shinkai's work. Whereas I saw The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, like, focused on that, but at the same time, it had restraint to it. And both are good, but that's just my opinion on the matter.
Okay. It's kind of like, maybe how about a middle ground between Miyazaki and Shinkai?
Yes, I like it.
Thank you. Thank you. I try. But the music was also fantastic. I loved the music.
Orgasmic.
I downloaded the score instantly. I'm sorry, what?
I said orgasmic.
It was. It was like a musical orgasm in my ears.
Oh.
But
it sounds wet.
Ew.
It does sound wet.
Okay.
I don't know
about like your musical orgasms.
Like a wet willy. Wet willy.
Oh, I hate those.
Unfortunate.
But the music kind of switched back and forth between orchestral, which was absolutely beautiful arrangements. Like
and straight techno?
Almost. Almost. King Kazuma's theme is actually kind of techno. It's like...
Oh.
And it was so cool. But yeah, they kind of... They balance back and forth between those. It's like kind of synthy, technological, like, you know, electronic, energetic things over here. And then like beautiful orchestral arrangements over here. And, you know, it's just absolutely fantastic. But I think more than anything else, the characters themselves are kind of what sell this movie. Like, and it's not even just the characters in quote-unquote real life, like Natsuki and Kenji and stuff, because you love them to death.
Yeah.
But they're avatars, too, because their avatars kind of have their own lives as well. Like, Kazuma and King Kazuma, his avatar, are my absolute favorite characters. And you almost start loving the characters more based off of what their avatar does, or vice versa. Because, like... King Kazuma is this epic rabbit avatar.
Oh my god.
And he, like, he's won every martial arts tournament online.
I got your
ever.
Techno going right now.
King Kazuma theme?
Nope, just random techno.
No, you have to play the King Kazuma theme.
So
I don't have that.
I know you were saying the avatars,
the techno's
like,
good.
The avatars are like a representation in the Oz world
yeah.
of what's going on in real life. But do they kind of have, like, autonomous actions to them, or is it always, like, a one-for-one representation? Like, is there ever a log-off period where the avatars are free to do whatever they want?
No, it's always based off of what the... If the person is in Oz doing something in Oz, that's when their avatar exists.
Okay.
It's never, like, the avatars are their own creatures.
Okay, I didn't know if, like, they became, like, NPCs and walked around.
No,
the person
no.
was not in Oz.
It was always, like, they're one creature, which makes it more real in that sense, too.
Right.
Because it makes it feel like they actually have control of these avatars, even though sometimes they'll do something insane. Like, one avatar will punch the other, and you'll hear the person go, ugh, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, those are little things that can be ignored. But, yeah, I think one of the most amazing things about this is that the ending is just phenomenal. Like, the way they wrap it up is so perfect and so fantastic. You're literally on the edge of your seat the entire time for, like, the last 30 minutes of the movie, just being like, oh my god,
oh
my
see,
god,
that's perfect.
How's this gonna happen? Oh my god.
Nothing is worse than a bad ending. I mean, like, I know we cover that 100 times, but nothing's worse than, like, becoming so invested in something and then it just completely dropping you.
Oh yeah. Like, personally, I left A Girl Who Leapt Through Time a little bit unfulfilled.
Yeah,
like
kind of.
Yeah, but this was just mind-blowingly perfect, because like it would do that thing where you would think it's over, but wait, something else just happened. Oh, right. My god, it's not over yet. And then they would finish it off in a way that you were just like, oh my god, yes. And then it's the sort of movie where you want to watch it over and over and over again, mm-hmm. and you still feel the same every single time.
Oh,
like it almost just gets better, and you start noticing little details and stuff. But bar none, hands down, this movie is totally worth a five out of five. Like five love machines out of five. I'll do
that. Love winning, anyone?
Exactly. Love machine.
I'm not going to say what that means. If you haven't seen the movie, you just have to go and see the movie. Go see it now.
So this anime is win.
Epic win.
Winning.
Totally epic win.
The
my favorite movie of like this year.
The AAA Academy Awards. The Anime Academy Awards, which is now our award system that I just made up, as per the Church of Mitsugi. We're
yes.
gonna tie this all in together.
Yes.
Charlie Sheen agrees with you.
We are going to give this anime the Animation of the Year Award.
Yes.
That doesn't matter because it doesn't exist, but it matters to us.
It does. And everyone listening / watching.
Yes.
And...
Scene?
Thought you were just messing with one dude. Scene. Sorry. Winning.
What? I'm so confused.
I'm sorry. I've been having fun with a Charlie Sheen soundboard over here.
Oh my god.
Winning.
Mitsugi gets his hand on toys.
Oh, I do. I do. There's some really, really sick and perverse shit on this soundboard.
Winning.
Oh boy.
I hope we're not playing.
Speaking of sick and perverse shit, you have a Rurouni Kenshin.
I do, but that's not really sick and perverse at all.
No, it's not sick or perverse.
No.
Speaking of Miyazaki, Rurouni Kenshin.
We need to start using that
we do.
More.
We do.
That makes me happy.
Rurouni Kenshin came out in 1996. Is that a retro review?
Close.
I guess it kind of could be at this point.
I'd say it is.
I mean, Cowboy Bebop was a retro review.
Oh my god, I'm so old.
It's pretty close.
We're the same age.
You're
anyway,
so old, too.
But Rurouni Kenshin is about a wandering samurai named Himura Kenshin, who, in the OVA of the series, is an assassin... for a group, an assassin during the Bakumatsu War, and he's like, he's Batosai the Manslayer, because he's so insanely skilled that he kills people before they even have a chance to scream, and kills tons of people, and it really takes a toll on his psyche, and where Rurouni Kenshin picks up is that he is atoning for his sins by using his sword to protect Japan instead of kill people, and so he has like a reverse blade sword so that the side you would slash with is blunt.
Can I just say, when I saw this for the first time on Cartoon Network, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. A reverse blade sword. I was like, oh my god, I want one of those. That is so cool.
That it was.
Well, I honestly still think it's pretty cool, because that's not that even now isn't really overdone at all, which is rare for anime. But, so he shows up in Tokyo, and he immediately meets up with a girl named Kaoru, whom is, she has a dojo, except it's not nearly as profound or, you know, she's not that skillful, basically, so she doesn't really have any students.
Oh, that sucks.
She's fairly good, but she invites Kenshin into her dojo after he saves her from some thugs, basically, and... he meets some friends along the way while in Tokyo, namely Sonosuke Sagara, who's a former member of what's called the Seiko Army. He's like this cool dude that's got like bad written on his shirt, written on his jacket, and he has like he basically has a cloud buster sword.
If he was in modern day, awesome. He would be like biker gang, like badass guy.
He he later on learns an even cooler move called the Futai no Kiyowami, which is like a punch where you strike with both your knuckles one at a time. That way, like the first strike, which would be like your middle knuckle, reduces the object's physical resistance, and then the second knuckle, which is your big knuckle, like annihilates it. So he like would it's like a double strike, and he would blow rocks to smithereens and stuff. It's pretty cool. He also
nice.
Meets Myojin Yahiko, who's an orphan from a samurai family. And some powerful swordsmen, including Aoshi and an old rival named Hajime Saito from the Bakumatsu War, who's also in the OVA. And he lives in Tokyo for several years. And during this period of the show, they do have some filler. This is one of the huge drawbacks with Rurouni Kenshin. Huge drawbacks. But he learns that his successor as an assassin is named Hajime Saito, and he learns that Saito plans to destroy the Japanese Meiji government, starting with Kyoto, which is where he is, and he feels that his friends might end up being attacked by Shishio. And so in order to prevent this, and to not be a danger to his friends, Kenshin goes to Kyoto to meet with Saito. Of course, all of his friends go with him, right?
Yeah,
naturally.
Because he doesn't want to be a danger to them, so they tag along.
It's kind of like Dragon Ball Z, where Goku will go off or something, and despite that, everyone always follows.
Gohan, stay here.
Yep.
It's dangerous. Okay, Dad. Fly, 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 fly.
Basically, he's fighting Frieza, and then Gohan comes back, and Goku unleashes his Super Saiyan Roid Rage on Gohan. Anyway, so what's the deal with Hajime or with Makoto Shishio? Because he's an incredible badass, and he's also voiced by Steve Blum.
Yes, there is one dubbing though that he's voiced by someone else. Like they did a dub and then they did a redub, and in one of I think Steve Blum is the original, and the redub they used someone else as him.
Fail.
Don't, if you are going to watch this dubbed, make sure it is the Steam Blue dub, because the other guy just it not even close.
Fail.
Not even.
Well,
close.
Nobody would be, but Shishio is. He's described as a sociopath, an opportunistic sociopath whom was knocked out by a rifle butt during which war was it? During some war, and during the Boshin War, Shishio was knocked out from a blow to the head from a gun, doused in oil, and burned alive by the Ishun Shishi, who I don't know who that is.
That is a recipe for a bad day.
So, Shishio looks like a mummy. He's covered in bandages from head to toe. He has no sweat glands or pores left. They've all been burned off. And so, his major, weakness is that his body overheats easily.
Oh,
but he has a lot of secrets about the Meiji government, and he's incredibly powerful. So, Shishio lives by a Darwinist theory, I guess. He believes that that the weak only exist to feed the strong, and that the weak are just stepping stones, you know, for the strong to walk on. And so
nice. He
wants to get his revenge on the Japanese government by using his vast government secrets to plunge the government, the country into turmoil, and overthrow the Meiji government. And he does this with the aid of a man named Satojima Hoji and his team of insanely skilled fighters called the Jupon Gatana, which is the 10 swords. And
cue a bunch of filler as they have to take out this band of people.
Right. he envisions a Japan ruled by him, of course, enforcing the principles of social Darwinism. Using his belief, he begins his campaign, and that's where Kenshin kind of stumbles into the middle of it. And cue massive fighting saga where everyone's killing each other, and the kind of, Shishio's crazy. He's the kind of guy that enslaves an entire village just so he can be like, just so he can use a hot spring without having people disturb him.
No, I have a question, Mitsugi.
What?
On the anime scale of crazy, where Hondo from Now and Then, Here and There.
All right, Hondo's
at the top.
King Hondo's at one extreme.
Yeah, and let's say you have Hondo and a Landau. And then let's say, I don't know, Seiko Reina, somewhere down here from Higurashi. Where does Shishio fit in?
All right, I would say Hondo's a 10.
Mm-hmm.
Seiko Reina's probably like a 4.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she only has like fits of psychosis when the parasites are acting up or whatever.
But let's just say that's her marker.
All right, so Reina's a 4. Delandau's probably a 6.
Okay.
And I would give Shishio somewhere between a 6 and a 7. No one's close to Hondo. He's friggin' nuts.
Yeah, but I was just, you know, on a scale that someone could relate to.
Because most of these other characters at least have moments where they act sane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Shishio's in love with a woman whose name is, what is her name? Yumi. And she's in love with him, and he's in love with her. So he has sane thoughts.
He has humanity in him.
It's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Whereas Hondo is just completely nuts. Like kick a dead cat around a room and stomp on it.
And if you're wondering what we're talking about, listen to episode 75 of the Animatics and Others nuts. Podcast.
I watched it after you talked about that. It's creepy.
I'm not ignoring you. Link is and Sheik is from the chat. I'm just on a roll. So, Kenshin's a wonderful character. He's incredibly deep. I mean, you've got a whole two-hour OVA dedicated to him, to his backstory. What else could you ask for?
Yeah.
Really. He's a very deep character in that he fights for his ideals, and even his sword is a constant reminder of what he stands for. And the problem with the show is that it has way too much filler, and every single minute of the show after Shishio is garbage. Now that's like 40 episodes because the show is like 93 episodes, but Shishio ends like around the 50-60 range.
That's where I stopped watching. I watched about 5 or 6 episodes after Shishio and was like, nope, I'm okay with that being the ending.
I can probably find the exact episode number here, but I mean it'd be a little bit difficult, but. You know, and in addition to having 40 episodes of crap at the end of it, it's, you've got crappy, god-awful filler sprinkled into the middle. Like, really horrible filler. Like, the kind of filler that you don't want to watch ever.
You know what else you have?
What's up?
You brush it against the freckles and you hate it so, but life goes on and then I heave a little sigh for you.
You know, I'm playing an opening theme right now from the show, but it's the third opening from the series. I skipped freckles on purpose.
I wonder why.
But it looks like the last mention of Shishio I can see in episode titles is episode... Forgive me for being so slow. Looks like,
I mean, you don't log this as you watch the anime on the top of your
looks like
your
60.
Head.
60.
Good lord.
That's what I do.
So lazy.
60 episodes, and it has 95 total. So you're talking 35 episodes of crap plus 10 episodes of crap from, like, the actual series. So half of the show's filler.
Yeah.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is, because otherwise it's fantastic, but ultimately the series is a joke compared to... the OVA, and the series is good.
Yeah, the series is really good.
Because the OVA of Samurai X is essentially one of the best things anime has to offer, period.
See, that's all I've seen.
Top 10, all time, probably.
Top 3.
Top 3?
Top
3. I can agree with that.
I mean, it has everything. Drama, amazing animation, meaning. Mm-hmm. Just the first 5 minutes alone is glorious.
Maybe we should
but
that. That hasn't been done yet?
No, it hasn't been done.
But... basically, I'm probably going to give this show, oh, man, you know, I'm probably going to give it 3.5, you know, Batosai the Manslayer, slain corpses or something out of 5. Kenshin's got so many cool moves. He's got the Bato Jutsu, where he, like, draws his sword real fast, and of course he has the, what's the move that we had from the survey?
I don't remember.
If anybody in the chat remembers Kenshin's ultimate attack, let me know. I can't remember right off the top of my head.
It's Hiten Mitsurugi something.
Hiten Mitsurugi Ryu is the fighting style.
But I thought the ultimate... I don't know.
Amakakeru Ryu no Hiramaki. Thank you, Bomberman Fan 811.
If he took away Kenshin's sword, would he still be badass?
He actually... I seem to recall him jacking someone in the head like at least once, but Kenshin's a pretty small dude.
Yeah.
And, I mean... There are some cool villains though. There's like the villain that has the stripes on his arms, mm-hmm. so it messes with your depth perception.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So it creates the illusion that like his arms are shorter than they are, so he can like hit you easily.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Saito, and it has amazing fight scenes in it.
Yeah.
But that's basically the best thing about the show. The rest of it's not really that great.
You mean you aren't a Kenshin and Kaoru fan?
I am a Kenshin and Kaoru fan. I gave it a 3.5, but I mean. It has more filler. It has a higher ratio of filler than Naruto.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to give it better than that.
Something.
I'm trying to be fair. But see you later, Koyuki the King. Go and enjoy your bath.
I like baths. They're fun.
So that's all I've got. That's all I've got for Rurouni Kenshin. I hope that was.
That was good.
Relatively spoiler free.
I liked it.
I feel like I learned something today.
Indeed.
And there goes the music.
Oh.
Awesome. I wish I could hear it, but I can't.
You can always listen to the episodes after the fact.
I do.
Like,
I like to hear
should.
Myself speak.
Yeah. I do that sometimes, too, where I'm, like, driving in my car, and it's, like, I have our episodes that, like, I downloaded one for whatever reason, like, to put up on the website or something, and it comes on my iPod, and I go to change it, and I'm like, I'll just listen to it for a little bit, and I'm like, I'm so narcissistic.
Oh, I'm leading the episode in this one. I'm just gonna leave it on.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised that nobody picked the series Kaiji. It's about gambling. The reason that I didn't pick it was because it's like the sequel to another series.
And I try to avoid sequels if I haven't seen them.
Yeah.
My personal thing.
So.
But yeah. Looks like we have reached an end to this episode.
A conclusion.
A conclusion.
Of conclusions.
Indeed. To wrap us up, again, you can find us at aaapodcast.com, iTunes, Facebook, as in facebook.com/animeaddictsanonymouspodcast, or look us up in the similar fashion, aaanetwork.org.
Check it out. Cool site.
Definitely do. Audiocream.com and ustream.tv/channel/anime-addicts-anonymous-podcast, or just go to ustream.tv and look us up.
Hit us up. Join our fan group.
Do it. Do it. Again, thank you everyone who joined us on Ustream. You guys rock. We love you. Share 2 hours of your time with us, or an hour and a half of your time with us.
And we know some of you are in time zones where it's like 2 a.m. for you right now.
Oh my god, why are you awake? Because you love us that much. Thank you. Thank you. But yes, so, if you are not on the Ustream and just listening to this normally, then check us out on the Ustream because it's awesome. We have after parties.
But still, thank you for subscribing.
Yes, that too.
That too.
Thank you for subscribing. So, our outro song for the evening is... What? Resuscitated Hope. Wow, I could not read
that. You can read, maybe?
I can't read.
She did all of the Japanese titles tonight. Perfect.
But English
the
just
English
blew my
one.
Mind. I wanted to be like, Resuscitated, whatever, from the anime Gosick by the artist Lisa Komine.
All right, you guys.
Have a good one.
Another one on the books. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
Peace.
I'm not afraid to die.